Hello, my friends. This is Paul Drockton, and welcome to True Religion Radio, where we get to the truth of Christianity, the truth, the basic truth, unfettered by designs for monetary gain or praise of the world or any of those things. We no desire of that. All we want to do is make sure that we preach the truth, whatever that is. And we're going to get as close as we can, and hopefully through the Spirit, we'll get the truth out to you. So, let's talk a little bit about Paul. Understand that Paul the Apostle, it to me is the most amazing. I mean, he's my namesake. My first name, as you know, is Paul. He's the most amazing individual, besides the Savior, in the New Testament. Why? Because Paul was, who was known as Saul, was basically the greatest persecutor of the Church of Christ after the crucifixion. As a matter of fact, we first read of him when Stephen was basically stoned by the Sanhedrin for testifying against him. And he stood there as one of the witnesses. They placed Stephen's clothes at his feet, basically ascending unto Stephen's martyrdom, basically ascending to murder. This is how far gone he was. And he thought he was doing God a favor. He thought he was serving God, that Christianity was some kind of a cult, some kind of a breakoff, some kind of an apostasy, right? Well, anyway, he went to the priests of Jerusalem and got letters from them authorizing him to arrest Christians in the city of Antioch, which was in Syria. And basically, he had taken these letters along with a couple people to help with the arrests, and he was on his way to Antioch when all of a sudden, he was hit with a bright shaft of light, brighter than lightning. It blinded him. And he heard a voice saying, "Paul, why persecutest thou me?" And Paul responded, "Who art thou, Lord, that I persecute?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus Christ. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." And then Paul said, "What do you want me to do?" And the Savior told him, "Look, you're going to go to Antioch, and I want you to go to the house of Cornelius, and he's going to restore your sight." So Paul had to be helped to Antioch. He was blind. He was taken to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was told that he was coming to his house. He prayed to the Lord and he said, "Lord, this guy is notorious for arresting Christians and leading them literally to their death. Am I supposed to meet with him or not?" And Cornelius was visited and the Lord told him, "Yes. He's one of my chosen servants, and I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer for my name." In other words, Paul was going to pay a heavy price for his persecution, and he would suffer much in the name of Jesus Christ to show his devotion, his loyalty, and his commitment. Now, Paul, in his writings, talks about the number of times he was stoned, literally dead, brought back, right? All the bruises he had, all the times he was beaten. I mean, long story short, Paul was probably the greatest of greatest as far as martyrs go, besides the Savior, right? He suffered much for his testimony of Christ, but that never dissuaded him. And he continued to testify. And so the first book that we can read in the New Testament after Acts is the book of Romans, which Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome. And in the book, Paul explains the consequences of sin and the consequences for disobedience to God. But then he also explains how we're saved by grace after all we can do. And Paul explains that no matter what we do as far as works, we're always going to fall short of the glory of God. We're never ever going to be able to obtain the kingdom of God simply through our works, but it's going to be through grace. And so it begs the question, what exactly is grace? Well, I kind of think of grace as permission to continue, permission to strive. Literally, the Lord touching you with his scepter and giving you the privilege of continuing to try to improve yourself. That's grace. Now, Paul also explains that because we're blessed through grace, doesn't give us any entitlement to sin, and that we have no right or privilege to use grace as a cloak for our sins. In other words, there's more demanded of us that are in God's grace than those that aren't. And basically, that whatever spirit we list to obey in this life, that same spirit is going to have control over us in the next life. So if we list to obey the Holy Ghost, that spirit is going to have control over us in the next life. If we list to obey the spirit of Satan, then that spirit's going to have control over us. And then Paul explains that God perceives all flesh the same. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, the Gentile nations, primarily the Roman Empire, they had their root in Greece. So if you take a look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, he began his ministry and spent most of his ministry, almost more than half of his ministry, in Galilee, which the Jews referred to as where the Gentiles lived. They considered a Gentile territory because Galilee previously was Phoenicia, previously was Canaan, previously was founded by the Greeks. So the Greeks founded Phoenicia, right? And the long story short, they're referred to as Gentiles. Now the same thing for Asia Minor, where Paul did most of his preaching, modern-day Turkey, right? Primarily. Basically, all Greek colonies founded by the Greeks. Rome, or should I say Italy, was founded by the Greeks. And of course, we know that through Alexander the Great, Hellenization pretty much prevailed over the entire known world. So Paul's ministry to the Gentiles showed that God esteemed all flesh as the same. And if you read Romans, he talks about the blessings of Abraham, and he explains that God chose Abraham before he was circumcised, basically explaining to the Jews that it has nothing to do with the circumcision or the law of Moses. It has everything to do with your own personal righteousness. And God chooses you. You don't choose God. He chooses you. He chose Abraham. He called him. God esteems all flesh the same. So while Abraham was uncircumcised, he was called of God. So it wasn't the circumcision that made Abraham righteous. It wasn't a Mosaic law. It literally was the grace of God, which, as I said before, my best way I can describe it is permission to continue. That's what it is, permission to continue pressing forward in Christ. That's what grace is. And if God were to give us what we deserve, all of us would be dead, because that's what we deserve. But grace is God basically saying, continue to press forward, continue to develop, continue to become more like me. And as you continue in grace, you'll become more Christ-like until you literally become a child of Christ, which will give you the privilege to live in his kingdom in the next life with him. And he states that all that the Father has been given to me. And he says, and all that I have will be given to you. We become joint heirs of Jesus Christ. This is a privilege reserved only to a chosen few, those individuals that the scriptures refer to as the elect. Paul explains that are the elect. And as you read through the book of Romans, you're going to realize that whatever spirit you list to obey, that's the spirit that's going to be controlling you in the next life when you die. So if you list to obey the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Ghost will claim you when you go into the next life. If you list to obey the spirit of Satan, then that's the spirits that control you. So we can't use grace as a cloak for our sins. We can't say it doesn't matter. There's no punishment because I'm under grace. No, no, no. Your actions will determine your reward. Grace isn't a cloak for sin. Grace is an opportunity for you to repent and become more like Christ. Very, very critical, my friends. Understanding that you are saved by grace after all you can do. So think again as an arrow pointed towards heaven. You let go of the bow, it's heading in that direction. The velocity is there, everything's there, right? Basically, we know the arrow's never going to get there on its own, but through grace, the arrow can arrive safely within the kingdom of heaven, and so can you. This is Paul Drockton. God bless, my friends. Have a great day.